602. Get ready for that International Sportsman's Expo, would you? It's coming to Cal Expo, well, tomorrow. Tomorrow through Sunday. So get ready.
Okay.
Prepare yourself.
Yeah, I'm there,
seriously,
man.
Seriously, does your dad go, like, every day?
Yep. I don't think he goes every day. I think he hits 2 to 3 days on the deal.
And what does he do there?
Just walks around and putters and looks at things and, you know, gets a couple of things and talks to, you know, it's like a group. I'm sure he has conversations with people that he's met in the past. You know, it's
all things sportsman related.
Yeah, hey, how do you tie your flies? Yeah. I use these waders.
Right.
And, you know, my dad's
a good fishing hole?
Yeah, exactly.
That's something I need to figure out.
Where's a good fishing hole?
Yeah, I want to go fishing here. I don't know that now's the time, though. Because
no, it's not.
There's a little bit of a water problem.
It's funny because I've made a commitment to try to do more outdoorsy campy stuff.
Really?
This summer, and then Melissa and I have some friends. One of our buddies has a boat, so talked about he goes out fishing a lot. So we're gonna try to go fishing this summer a few times. I haven't fished in God knows how long. I know that like last time I fished like Ice House up in the foothills, that's like a good place to go and. There's all kinds, but I think it's like what defines a good fishing hole. For me, it's when I go up there and I catch fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could be Folsom Lake on a day that they're hitting off a power bait and all of a sudden Folsom Lake's. I don't know how it works and I don't really want to get into it. I don't think you guys do either. But when it's like super rained and floody and all that, and then the summer comes around, the snowpack's melting, like, is that better for fishing? Is it worse? Do the currents
into KHDK Saturday mornings to find out?
That's right. Yeah, have ultimate bass. We got Kent to call in one of these times. Do fishing
fish
talk.
Report.
Yeah, get the old fish
report. We're gonna have plenty of time for that this summer.
I might have had. I wouldn't say it's the proudest, but top five proud moment of being a parent beyond them being born last night. I was on the bed, on my bed, watching, what the hell game was it? Was it Houston? I don't know. I was watching some NBA game that was on. It was so awesome. I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
And I was dabbling in show stuff. And then I posted a blog this morning. Go to khdk.com and check it out on the Adrian Wojnarowski, Ricky Rubio, Sacramento Kings.
Oh, you did that this morning?
I did it last night. Oh. I published it last night around 5 o'clock. And in there, I was talking. What I did is I presented, you know, I did the story, what Woj said, put his tweet in there because we learned how to do this yesterday. We had a big meeting yesterday on how to use WordPress so we can blog more, which is awesome. And so I put Woj's tweet in there. I was very proud of that. And then I screenshotted. I went to the trade machine, and I presented 3 trades that I think would be most likely, from least to most likely.
That's a blog.
It sure is. Yeah. And I even screenshotted them and put the trade thing in there, right? 3 different trades.
Is there a trade machine app? Because there should be.
That's a good question.
All right. Anyway.
I don't think there is, and there should be, actually. I know you can do it on your phone. You can go to the link and do it on your phone. Anyways, so, but you're right, an app would make it a lot easier. So in one of them, I was...
Imagine if there was an app, how many, like, trade suggestions we would get.
Yeah, a lot more.
I don't know that there needs to be an app.
Another ding. That's a great point. So in one of them, I was explaining how Ben McLemore and Zach LaVine would be tremendously athletic together and grow. And all. I was talking about Zach LaVine.
You're trying to do your best sell?
Kind of. Yeah.
Wait, like you were trying to get Zach LaVine?
No.
Why Rubio can come here because Ben McLemore is an asset.
No. I think I said the Ben McLemore experiment has not worked out. And at the very least, Minnesota can give him a new venue, and my goodness, he would add to the out of this world athleticism of the team. There's one thing there. So I wrote about Zach LaVine for a sentence. My son was watching me write the blog and watching the game. He kind of had his head on my shoulder, and then I move on from that sentence. He goes, "Daddy," I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Daddy, the V in Zach LaVine's capitalized."
Oh,
and I was like, "Oh my God, are you kidding me? You're 100% correct, dude."
Dude,
my son corrected.
He's on it.
He's 8 years old. He's on. I go, buddy, where are you reading this stuff? And I get. He went and he got his little. They have these little kid iPads I got for him that have rubber bumpers, so you can drop them and all that. It's for like I don't know, Cranky Finds the Machine and whatever apps that I think they downloaded.
Angry Birds.
Right, yeah, he found a little kid version of NBA highlights and news.
You're kidding.
It's like, and I should remember the name of it, but it's like a kid version. And I guess he just studies the you-know-what out of it.
Oh, wow.
Remember he nailed me the other night on how San Antonio was better than the Cavaliers?
Yeah,
and they had a game and a half on him, record-wise. Yeah. They had a game and a half on him.
By the time that kid is my age, the NBA will be bigger than the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's on the right track.
Yeah.
So I have a little rain kid on my hands. It's like, sorry, Dad. No,
there's Rain Man.
Yes,
there's some guy out there that's driving to work right now that's going, oh yeah, well, when I was 8 years old, I was reading in the fourth grade level.
Exactly.
You think that's impressive?
You know, nobody cares about your dumb ginger kid talking about Ricky Rubio. And it occurred to me, and we've broached this a little bit before, and I don't think you have to have kids to participate in this conversation.
Crap.
Yeah, I know, right? There is a part of me, I will confess, like the conversation I had with my daughter the other night. Why don't we go to Warrior and Cavs games? Because we're Kings fans. But there's a part of me that is so in love with my son's love that he has taken the torch of sports. I see it developing in him, and it's great. And there is a part of me that feels guilty for basically forcing him to be a Sacramento Kings fan.
Oh, gosh.
No, it is. There is. I do struggle a little bit with that.
I think that sports teaches valuable lessons to kids. I really, truly do. And I think parents, and we've talked about this with like the trophies and stuff. I think parents can kind of take away some of those lessons by some of the things they do. But this is not a situation where you're taking away a valuable lesson. This is a good thing that your kid is a Kings fan right now, because he's going to grow up understanding what disappointment
Misery.
Is,
yeah.
nothing is ever perfect, and that there's going to be things that you do it because it's difficult, and you stick with it, and you let it play out.
When you say, Dave, that you're, because you've said this before, born into being a Kings fan,
yeah.
Like you didn't have a choice, right? Like, how did that go? Did your dad specifically say to you, this is the team we root for? Because I would say I was born into it too, but I was like not really forced into anything.
My dad didn't really do it. Before the Kings got here, I mean, I was 7, so I didn't know what the hell being a fan was yet. But before the Kings got here, my two favorite teams really were the Celtics and the Warriors for very specific reasons. The Celtics were my favorite team because I had to choose between the Lakers and the Celtics. And one thing that I was born into is hatred of L.A. and all things Southern California. So the Lakers weren't an option. So the Celtics and Larry Bird and Dennis Johnson and Jerry Seasting and Danny Ainge and Robert Parrish, that was my team growing up until the Kings got here. And the reason why the Warriors, I mean, I shouldn't say I was a Warriors fan. The Warriors were my vehicle because once a year, my big trip with my dad is we would drive to Oakland when Boston would visit, and we would go see the Celtics and Warriors. So those were the two teams I was exposed to. Now, when the Kings arrived, my dad had really, when I say forced, my dad had really no influence. He never said, we're Kings fans. Mm-hmm. What
forced because it was Sacramento.
Geographic. Exactly. And oh my God, my own city's getting a real major league team. We never had a major league anything. I would have had to have fought it.
Yeah.
Just to fight it. So, Katie, to your point, Nate, to your point, whereas you're the one angel on my shoulder saying that, you know, not everybody gets a trophy. He gets to learn disappointment. I've already gone through my son crying because he's so frustrated at the Kings shot selection. Like, we've had these conversations. But then on the other hand, am I also teaching him that you can be borderline criminally inept for decades and that you'll get away with it because people are just going to be sheep and pay to watch you be inept? Because isn't that also partially true? Am I not teaching him, in the sake of the Sacramento Kings, that for the bulk of their existence in Sacramento, they have been completely inept? They have made bad decision after bad decision, and we as fans continue to follow them.
Why are you fans of a sports team? What do you think is the reason people?
I am a fan of the Sacramento Kings.
No, not you. Overall. Why do you think people are fans of sports teams specifically?
Like, why are they fans?
Like, are you supposed to be a fan of the ball?
No. Why do they affiliate themselves with one team? Like, my brother grew up a Packers fan.
Sure.
How did that happen? Like, what is it? Like, it's one thing. It's like, okay.
I root for the officials.
Well, no. They need all the cheers they can get right now.
In the case of the Kings, I think a lot of it's, I think 90% of it's geography.
Yeah.
You're proud of your city, and you're proud of how they represent your city.
You're proud of your city, and you support your city, and therefore you support the team that's there. I don't think you can call fans sheep for following a team that has been, in your words, inept.
I don't know.
I think you can.
And I think I'm the biggest sheep of them all. I mean, I'm not calling, I want to be very clear. I'm not calling fans sheep. I'm saying me as a fan, I'm a big fat sheep with my fellow sheep. I'm part of that problem.
We keep coming back.
I'm not separating myself from that at all. They have done.
Why are people Cleveland Browns fans?
Because they're sheep.
They are fans because that is their team. It's their city.
Sure.
There's a pride there.
And there's loyalty.
And if you go back to it just being geographic pride, again, like, to me, there's your sheep again. Like, why? Like, why specifically? Like, what is it that...
Well, it's the same reason why someone from Sacramento that's wearing a Warriors jersey or a Lakers jersey, Dave just absolutely brutalizes them. Is it bad to say if I'm a sports fan, I want to root for a team that has extended success and has,
Yeah, and that's the ultimate conversation. That's really the central conversation, is bringing up to somebody when they say, hey, you can sit there and mire in being a loser for most of your life, Kings fan. I'm going to choose to root for teams that have players and styles and records that make it a pleasurable experience.
Well, by the time we realize that, it's too late. By the time we realize how silly, like, geographic alliance is when it comes to that, when, you know, you could have in first grade chosen a team that was decent. It's too late. Like, there's no going back by the time you get woke.
You realize
by the time you get woke.
You realize there are people that are driving right now, though, that they chose a team that was successful when they were kids, and that team was the Kings. I mean, in 2000, there were a lot of Kings fans. Remember that we used to see Kings stuff. They'd show it on the news and on ESPN. Kings fans in Europe, Kings fans in China. Mm-hmm. When the Kings went to China in, what was it, 2000, 2001, There were more Kings jerseys than there were Rockets jerseys, or about as much, and Yao Ming was freaking over there because the Kings were the greatest show on earth, according to Sports Illustrated and David Stern. So, yeah, I'm split, man. Part of me wants to teach my son loyalty, and I want the hereditary nature of sports to go through to him.
It sounds to me like Mason has made up his own mind.
Oh, he certainly has. Yeah. He's already got the bug. He's a Kings fan.
Yeah.
He's a Kings fan through and through, and he lets his sister know about it when she says stuff like, we can go to the Warriors because we're Kings fans, Avery. But in part, have I not knowingly passed a disease on to my son? Like, it's one thing if I have the disease, but I just shared it with my kid and infected him because I want company.
Misery loves company.
That's not a good dad.
Sure it is.
I mean, I guess it is. Good dad, bad
That's
dad.
That's just a dad.
Morning Brew is next. Speaking of dad, Mike Shanahan is Kyle Shanahan's dad. Will his son be the head coach of your San Francisco 49ers soon? There's developments there. Here's Toto on KHTK. Damn it, I missed the post. That is the sound of the Atlanta offense.
That was an L1, serious.
That's right. Matt Ryan to Florida State's Devontae Freeman, who had a phenomenal year, along with Tevin Coleman. And the Atlanta Falcons will be in the NFC Championship this Sunday. Now, either way, whether the Falcons win or lose, if they lose, expect now, according to reports, that Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan's junior, to be named the new coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Now, if they win, NFL rules allow for an interview to happen during the bye week, basically, between the championship week and the Super Bowl. Tom Cable's agent tweeted that he has decided to remain with the Seahawks, much like Josh McDaniels decided to remain with the Patriots. So,
yeah, but all indications from that is because Jed York went up to Seattle and interviewed several people, also for the GM position. And the only reason Tom Cable has kind of withdrawn his name is because of all the reports that it looks like the 49ers are interested in Shanahan. So it's not like he wasn't interested in the job. He just felt that everything was pointing to...
A little CYA.
Yeah.
A little CYA. I've decided to stay with my team while you weren't going to get hired.
Yeah, so that was kind of... Is it bad of me to think, like, wow, That offensive line in Seattle is not great.
Yeah.
So does that get you a head coaching job?
Today, here's part of the problem, though, and this is what's sick, and I'd love for you to tackle these two things. Number one.
Hit position. All right, I'm ready. Let's do it.
According to friend of the station, Mike Silver, yesterday Tom Cable was interviewed on the phone by Denise DeBartolo York for an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's involved. And that's not a woman thing. That's a football thing, number one.
Was it an interview or was it a discussion?
Niners' interest in Tom Cable was real. Owner Denise DeBartolo York interviewed him on the phone today for an hour. That's according to Mike Silver. That's number one. And number two, and stop me if you've heard this before, Nathan, they're hiring a coach before a GM. I feel like that's happened before
this
somewhere.
Is, like, I'm not the first person to say this, but like this is what it would be like if the Bluth family was in charge of the 49ers. You've got Buster Bluth in charge of things, and Lucille's really pulling the strings from behind the scenes. That's why Denise is on the phone with Tom Cable. And can I go ahead and put my tinfoil hat on here for a second, because I wasn't just there. I kind of like the idea of all of these guys from Seattle, like, taking interviews just specifically so they can be like, no, not for us. No, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
The class of the division just looking back at the Niners and being like, come on, guys, seriously?
Let's figure it out.
There's definitely more we can get into on this whole hiring a head coach before
Coach
GM
Kyle
situation.
Coming to save the day!
Yep, 7-17, four down territory. Not only will we talk about this, but we'll also talk about perhaps some quarterback moves, and perhaps one that has a little bit of a history with Kyle Shanahan coming to the San Francisco 49ers. Next. Oh, that's me, isn't it? Hey, Matt, we're not doing four down here. We're doing morning brew, so I have to hit it.
My bad. That's my fault.
So
Third down.
I'm in charge of that, so it's your fault. Okay?
Got it. I'll take it.
Now I'm going to play the clip before I actually play the sound.
That's my fault again. I got that.
Just completely wreck the segment.
Oh, man. That's Mike Tomlin.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. Not hesitating at all to say exactly how he feels. I'm a little surprised here. Because we don't cover the Steelers. It's not our team, whatever. So I wasn't 100% sure kind of the type of coach that Mike Tomlin is. Because you have those head coaches that will kind of say, hey, you know what? It happened. We're moving on from it. And will kind of protect their player. So when he came out, was like, it was selfish. It was inconsiderate. I can't believe that he did it. And then Ben Roethlisberger also came out and said, hey, I'm not happy that he did it. I kind of wish that he was paying attention to what Coach and I were saying and talking about instead of being on the other side of the locker room, filming on Facebook Live. So I'm glad that the Steelers kind of said, hey, this is not okay. This is not how we operate. It's not all right. And then you have Antonio Brown that comes out and apologizes.
Mm.
He was just excited.
Mm-hmm. That was some serious cheerleading by Mike Tomlin, wouldn't you say?
In the speech?
Yesterday, too, just cheerleaded his way right out of a sticky situation.
The only thing that went wrong
is I don't think Mike Tomlin needed to apologize for anything that was said. And I get why he did, but that dude... That's locker rooms, man.
Yeah.
And there was nothing wrong with that. Like, everything he did was fine.
That tells
fine.
You the kind of person he is,
he was firing
though.
Up his team. Yeah, and it's funny. You said, like, I don't know what kind of coach Mike Tomlin is. I'll tell you everything you need to know. The guy wears a leather jacket and gold-rimmed Ray-Bans on the sidelines. He's the king of the badasses.
In other words, he's the perfect coach is what he is.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger's comments at 6:48.
That is Dave Yeager on the Grant Napier Show featuring Doug Christie.
Uh-huh.
Is that the official name that we can call it?
I guess so.
And the Kings, they're playing the Pacers tonight. Back in action. You heard Coach saying, need to be more aggressive, need to start a little bit better. But here's the other thing, guys.
Guys.
Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Ricky Rubio of the T-Wolves back on the trade block. The T-Wolves are listening to offers, and the Kings are one of those teams interested.
Yep, and we're late for the break because we went long on the Niners stuff. That's not your fault. I'm just going to shut up and say it. 7 a.m., we'll talk about this extensively. Not only the Kings back in action tonight against the Pacers, but also, Katie, the idea of Ricky Rubio once again being a Sacramento King.
Yeah, and I don't know how much there is to talk about other than the fact that, you know, you like him a lot. There's a lot to like about him. But the question really comes down to, and we'll get into that, is what do the Kings have that the Timberwolves would be interested in?
Howard Beck of the he will talk NBA with us right there at 7:30.
Howard Beck of the NBA.
Howard Beck of the NBA. He will talk. Howard Beck's Bleacher Report, correct? Howard Beck will talk to us at 7:35 about the NBA. I stumbled between those two things there. That's normal. It's early. Screw you. It is 6:28. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo coming to Cal Expo tomorrow through Sunday, January 19th through the 22nd. In 3 minutes, let's get into Kyle Shanahan's brain and him being potentially the newest 49er head coach. Coming right back on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. That's George Karl and what was just proved to be. And God bless the three boys. New
did it
three.
All go like that?
George has always had that cadence.
Those poor guys.
Yeah, and that is just a difficult interview to do because, you know, he's got the silence. Because it's a simple question.
Well,
he's made an art form out of the pregnant pause.
Yes.
He answered it. He answered it in the sense that there was no other team in the league that would give him a job at that time. I mean, he said it perfectly. I love the gym and I love to coach. What he left out is there were no other options.
He did leave that out. It would have been nice if he was like, what are you talking about? 20 million. 20 million, bitches.
Isn't that basically what he said?
That's why I came. I don't care. 20 million. Ha! I'm cashing checks.
Rich!
Got one in the mail last week.
Yeah.
20 million.
Yeah.
I got 20 million reasons to come there. I would have coached a turd in hell for $20 million. What would you guys have done?
A turd in hell.
Kyle Shanahan's going to be getting a little bit of money, too, from the San Francisco 49ers. As you mentioned in your update, Mike Silver, the NFL Network, says that Kyle is almost certain. I like how we call him Kyle because he's 37. He's almost certain to accept the job. I mean, Kyle, though, right? Like, doesn't Kyle sound like a kid's name? Like, famous Kyles that are, like, older and distinguished. I can't.
Well, it's a newer name.
Is it? I went to school with a guy named Kyle Kipke. I'm 41.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, which isn't that far off from 37.
All right, famous Kyles, period. Go. Famous Kyles. Daryl Kyle, the late great.
That's it.
Kyle. Oof, God.
Kyle Whittingham, right?
Who's
isn't he a coach of Utah?
Okay.
Football.
I have no
Are you talking idea. About Ty Willingham?
No, Kyle Whittingham. Isn't that a person? I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, so anyways.
It's a person.
Is it? Did you get that?
He's a football coach for the University of Utah. Hell yeah.
Wow, how did you get that? Well,
Kyle Shanahan.
I'm the sports bastard.
Making a bid. He's making a bid to become the most famous Kyle, the most accomplished Kyle of all time.
Kyle Turley.
Kyle Turley, there you go. That's probably the winner right now is Kyle Turley. I mean, Kyle Turley is the king of the Kyles. Shanahan cannot be officially cleared and offered the job until after the Falcons season comes to an end. That could come as soon as obviously this Sunday, or he'd have to wait an additional 2 weeks till after. And I hate the way this is. What are we calling this? Super Bowl 51? Because it looks like Super Bowl Lee.
Super Bowl Lee.
When it's in the Roman numerals, L-I. It's much like the Falcons had to wait for Dan Quinn a couple years ago following Super Bowl 49 to get over there. He'll be available, as we mentioned, to interview again for the 49ers, even if the Falcons advance to the Super Bowl during championship week and the Super Bowl itself. So here we go.
What do you do in that second interview? Like, he's the only one left.
Yeah.
You use your bargaining chips, and one of those bargaining chips for him is that he wants to be involved in the hiring of the general manager. And so when you're the only guy remaining and you have all of the bargaining chips in your favor, you use them, and that's one of his chips.
Kyle Korver.
Oh, duh.
Kyle Busch.
Oh.
NASCAR Kyle Landry.
Kyle
Lowry.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry. You mean Carl Landry?
But all those,
so we're failures.
Yeah, so no, but all of those are younger than Kyle
Whatever,
Shanahan.
NBA sideline reporter.
Kyle Petty?
I mean, Kyle Korver is just 2 years younger than him. A year and a half younger. They're around the same age.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Schwarber?
Dude.
Yeah, that's the text line. Yeah. That's not me.
Well, I mean, I know.
Yeah, it's the text line, 44-11-40.
Just whiffed completely.
We're on the spot. These guys had the opportunity. You know, I mean, I guarantee
but if
you.
Listen, if there is a perfect Kyle, it's Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber is a phenomenal
America's grown adult son, Kyle Schwarber. I love it.
640, America's best Kyles right now, 339-1140.
Well, of course, our good friend Kyle Madsen, but he's working on it.
Yeah, he's working on it. He's got a tweet that like got retweeted 4,000 times. That's his claim to fame. There's an interesting development on top of Kyle Shanahan coming to the 49ers, and that is the quarterback situation in San Francisco. So now we're starting to hear things.
As in there isn't one?
Well, you've got technically Colin Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert, and Christian Ponder. So, yeah, there really isn't one. Now the question becomes, will the Niners make a play for Kirk Cousins? Now, you remember Mike Shanahan had a lot to do along with Kyle and Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins had the franchise tag on him last year. If Washington tags him again, he'll make $23.94 million.
Yeehaw.
So what they could do is they could tag him, which would drive that number higher in order to block the 49ers. But here's the deal. If they go with the non-exclusive tag, that gives Washington a pair of first-round picks as compensation for Cousins, which would then, you would think, include the 49ers' second overall selection next year. Now, we know this. We know that the Redskins would salivate to get the number two pick and another first rounder, which would assumedly be a fairly high one, for Kirk Cousins and get out of that $24 million tag. I can't, as stupid as the 49ers are, they can't be that stupid, can they? They can't be.
Sure, they could. I mean, if there's not even really a GM there.
There isn't.
None of these moves are going to be made in the near future.
I'll tell you this much. Washington's GM is a guy by the name of Scott McLuhan. You may remember him from, you know.
Being the guy that built the 49ers?
Yeah, him. So he's certainly not going to make a bad deal, you would think, for the Redskins.
Didn't he build a good part of the Seahawks, too?
Yeah, he's pretty good. So the GM to be named later after the coach, of which it sounds like Kyle Shanahan's also going to be able to choose the GM from a list of like three or four, and we'll get into that later. That's just shaping up to be fantastic. And congratulations to Denise DeBartolo York for her helping Jed York and hiring the new Niners head coach. It can't go wrong at all.
Mommy's good boy getting things done.
Coming up next, 6:48, Mike Tomlin went off on Antonio Brown. I think that surprised us all a little bit, but Ben Roethlisberger had some comments too. We'll be back in 4 minutes right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. It is 6:49. Welcome into The Drive. Want to remind you to watch the game with us today. Golden One Center. That's the Kings game. Kings, Indiana, tonight. We'll be at Golden One Center to watch it. Join the KHDK Street team from 5:30 to 7:30 to win. Hey, fantastic prizes. Speaking of fantastic prizes, at 7:55, it's Golfing on a Prayer. We'll give you an opportunity to listen to a Bon Jovi snippet if you can be the first to call in with what that song is. Tough one yesterday. We did always. If you call in and you're the big winner, you not only get tickets to go see Bon Jovi February 28th at the Golden One, but also you and five of your friends could have your very own bay at Top Golf this Sunday to watch the NFL Championship Sunday with us.
Yeah.
Before we get into Mike Tomlin, wanted to just mention, because I think it's worth mentioning, and I don't know where else in the show to put it, that Andy Farrillo of the Sacramento Bee announced in his column the day before yesterday that he will be leaving the sports section. And that his next column will be covering the new federal courthouse.
I did not see that.
Yeah. So, Andy Farrillo leaving the Sacramento Bee Sports section, which you draw your own conclusions there. Every interaction I've ever had with Andy Farrillo, and hi, DeMarcus Cousins cheerleader here at Carmichael Dave, every interaction I've ever had with him has been a good one, and I don't mean any disrespect by mentioning that. It's been a good – I've always had good interactions with him. Off air, off spotlight, whatever. He seems like a relatively good dude. I wish him no ill will at all. I just think in light of everything that happened a month or two ago, it is interesting timing, and it may be coincidental. It may be, honestly. But he's leaving the sports section and going to cover the federal courthouse.
Hey, I mean, it's always a good thing when you can have one less voice in the room that's critical.
Yes. Well, he's still.
I don't know that they're.
Yes, I agree.
Him or whatever.
Yeah, you know.
I thought Andy did a good job, and like whether or not you agree with some of the things he did, I think it's important to have people in positions like that that are willing to ruffle a few feathers.
I thought we talked about this on the air. I actually when DeMarcus took the microphone and was asking Aileen and Andy if they thought that he should be there, and Andy said, "If it was me, no." I respected that. I did. Obviously,
how could you not? I don't know.
I may not agree with the answer. I respect your ability to say it, look a guy in the eyes and say it right there instead of going and doing your own thing and saying it behind someone's back. I like that. That's fine. So,
I mean, he could have easily sat on that and then penned a column the next day. You know what I mean? Like that's, and I think that's what a lot of people would have done.
I completely
is avoided
agree.
It and then taken the pen to the paper the next
did
day.
Did anyone? Do you remember if Aileen wrote anything after that?
She did, but I don't know if she mentioned it. I know Andy mentioned that. I don't know if Aileen mentioned it in her column. I know Andy did, though. Mike Tomlin, as you know, was making a speech after the Pittsburgh Steelers win over the Kansas City Chiefs. Pretty much a victory speech, and here's what we're doing, and on to New England and all that. Antonio Brown thought it would be a good idea to Facebook Live that speech in what was a clear violation, not just of rules, but... you know, of ethics.
Code.
Now, we all said yesterday that I think we all agreed that Mike Tomlin would probably address it and say, you know, it's internal and I'll talk to Antonio and we'll move on and we're not focusing on this. Well, that didn't happen. Mike Tomlin had a few things to say, starting with this. Then he goes on to talk about and gets into Antonio Brown, kind of the person and some of the issues he's had. A couple more clips on this, talking about his teammates and what they have to deal with other than, you know, the Patriots. Well, here's where I think in our final clip, here's where Mike Tomlin really drops the hammer when he gets even deeper on Antonio Brown. Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Man.
Mike Tomlin dropped the bomb.
Not at all messing around.
Could you possibly handled that any better? I mean, how many coaches would have stood up there and, like, just made the blanket statement about distractions this, distractions that, we can't have it. And
then handling it internally.
But get specific into why that's a distraction. And like he said, like, this is bad for your teammates when they have to answer questions that aren't football-related prep every week.
Yeah, and it's bad that his Tuesday press conference was spent talking about his star player, you know, Facebook Live-ing a post-game speech.
I don't
That's
want
ridiculous.
That to be his story. I don't think he wants that to be his story.
It's really one of the most interesting things that is not talked about, I think, enough in sports, is that I think really other than the wide receiver position in the NFL is so unique, because when you think about it, there are just a lot of really stupid people that play wide receiver. And I don't mean stupid book smart. I mean, I'm talking about the diva, Terrell Owens. Think about this right now. Two of the top stories we're dealing with right now in the NFL when it comes to wide receivers are Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown.
It's always been that way.
And it has always been that way. That doesn't mean every good wide receiver is a dum-dum.
I can tell you why right now.
Please.
It's the exact same reason that I started playing wide receiver when I was in high school. Because receivers get all of the glory and none of the hate. When you catch the ball, all you got to do is catch the ball and people go nuts. That's it. All you have to do is catch the ball and people go nuts for you. They're not paying attention if you're blocking on running plays. They don't give a damn what you do until you catch the ball and make a big play. That's it. All the glory, none of the shame of it. It's that simple. And then when you, like, the further you go up, the more that just gets exacerbated, because the more big plays you make, the more people love you. No one gives a damn, like, if Odell Beckham can block on a running play.
No.
Nobody cares.
So the three players.
It's a piece of cake, and it breeds these types of people. It's hilarious.
This social media policy went into effect for the NFL in 2010. The three players that have been fined for in the first season, two of them were wide receivers. Do you know who they were?
Oh, gosh.
Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown.
Yeah, right.
Chad Ochocinco, $25,000. Terrell Owens, $5,000.
And there's two big-time divas right there.
Yeah.
Keyshawn Johnson was a diva. We talked about Odell Beckham and obviously Antonio Brown.
There's no saturation point with wide receivers, right?
Because Des Bryant.
And I'm not talking about, like, socially. I mean, on the field.
Yeah,
you get, at best, you get 6, 7, 8 touches a game, maybe, right? And and every time one of those happens, almost every time something good happens.
Yeah, that's very true. And if it doesn't happen, it's the quarterback's fault.
Yep.
It's not you running the route or not running the route. Quarterback throws an interception. How many interceptions are thrown a year by a quarterback that are a result of the receiver blowing the route and the quarterback throwing the ball exactly where it should be? The receiver cuts right instead of left, yeah, and the quarterback gets picked.
Mm-hmm.
Receiver didn't get that. There's no stat for blown routes by a receiver. And I just don't know that there's any other position in sports that is more conducive to being a total moron than wide receiver.
I don't think so, man.
So onward and upward. No doubt that Antonio Brown is supremely talented. And I think actually
I love
probably
how they handled this,
a
though.
Good guy. But Mike Tomlin, yeah. Four and four down territory at 7:17. We'll hear Ben Roethlisberger's comments.
Cheerleader my ass.
And Mike Tomlin also apologized. And we'll get into that, too. And as Nate said earlier, what the hell is he apologizing for? At 7 o'clock, 3 minutes away, we'll get into the Kings. Not only playing the Pacers tonight, but also these Ricky Rubio rumors. Woj didn't drop a bomb. He dropped like a little tiny missile, but we'll explore that missile next. Talk about Ricky Rubio and your Kings in 5 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK.